May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 1008. Come, Holy Spirit, calm my mind, and fit me to approach my God. Remove each vain, each worldly thought, and lead me to thy blessed abode. 1008.
Let us read together in the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 1 and a few verses from chapter 2. The epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm unto you the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptize also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. For of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Thus far we read. May the Lord bless the reading of that portion of his sacred word to our souls, and grant to us now the Holy Spirit's aid in prayer. Most holy and eternal, ever merciful Lord God, look down in mercy now, we beseech thee, upon a little company of poor needy sinners, give favour to gather once more in thy earthly courts. For Lord, thou knowest how each one of us have come, the exercises of our souls, the desires of our hearts, the burdens that we carry, the paths that we walk in. Lord, it's all known to thee, for hast thou not appointed the path of thy dear people? But Lord, we come in all our felt spiritual poverty and need, seeking that thou wilt look upon us in thine infinite condescension and love and mercy, that thou wilt remember us this night, and leave us not to leave thy courts as we've gathered. Oh, might it please thee to gather with us and cause thy voice to be heard in our midst, that the word might be a living word to living souls, that souls may be wrought upon by the under the power of thy Holy Spirit, drawn away from time things, those things that have concerned us during the day. And oh, might it please thee to put forth thy power and draw our hearts' affections heavenward. Oh, Lord, we would come in that place where the Greeks of old came. We would see Jesus. Oh, might it please thee to grant to us a precious sight, a glimpse of the dear Saviour this night. For thou knowest those longing souls before thee, those who are hungry and thirsting after those spiritual blessings which are found in a precious Christ, a dear Redeemer. And Lord, we pray that Oh, that now thou wilt bring us to thy feet in real contrition and true repentance. For, Lord, thou knowest we're unworthy that thou shouldest regard us. For, Lord, we sin continually. Lord, we are stained throughout by sin. Our all is nothing worth. And thus we come as poor, helpless sinners this night, craving thy help, but pleading with thee that thou wilt have mercy upon us. For, Lord, thou knowest we've nothing of our own to bring, for truly we only have our sins. But, Lord, we would fall at thy feet. And, oh, as we come in all our sins, we would come with that heartfelt desire which thou alone dost put in our hearts, a plea for mercy. Oh, gracious God, let thy mercies come unto us, even thy salvation according to thy word. Lord, we're unworthy of it. But, Lord, we would come in real faith, heartfelt faith in exercise in our hearts, that we may lay hold of a precious Saviour, to plead his name, his blood, his righteousness, his perfect atonement for our sins. Lord, that we may be found amongst those favoured souls made accepted in the Beloved. Oh, might that portion be ours. And Lord, thou knowest those souls before thee who are longing to know it, to have Christ revealed to them, to know that their sins have been put away forever, atoned for. Lord, that work of reconciliation has been made for us at Calvary. Oh, Lord, might it please thee even this night to lead us to Calvary and there to see a precious Saviour, a dear Redeemer, standing in our room and place and stead, bearing the curse of sin, the bearing the punishment due to our sins. And Lord, to see that in that perfect atonement, all our sins were put away forever at Calvary. Oh Lord, do come and seal in our poor hearts pardon and forgiveness. Lord, we're unworthy, thou knowest, but oh, it is that which we long to know and have sealed in our hearts again and again. For thou knowest how we sin continually in every thought and word and deed, how unable we are to keep ourselves. And Lord, thou knowest that our poor sinful hearts, so often carried away with the dying things of this world, unable to keep alive our own souls, Lord, we come as helpless sinners, pleading that thou wilt remember us in compassion, in mercy, thou come and visit our souls with a token of thy love and mercy. Oh, Lord, we're unworthy, thou knowest, but our little lives are fast ebbing away, even the youngest here, and soon we shall have to leave this world. And oh, the solemnity of it, to realise that that day will surely come when that last breath will be taken, and of that great need now to know that our souls are eternally secure in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are reconciled to a holy God. But oh, wonder of wonders, to be viewed by thee in the completeness and perfection of thy beloved Son, in all that thou didst accomplish for poor sinners. Lord, might it please thee to hear our poor cries. Thou knowest we stand in great need, for without thee we can do nothing, and how constantly we have to come with that petition upon our lips. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. Set a watch before my mouths, and keep the door of our lips. Hold us up, and we shall be safe. Lord, we've nowhere else to look. There's nothing in self, but oh Lord, there's everything in a precious Christ, a dear Redeemer. And oh, it is to be a partaker of those rich blessings that are found in the dear Saviour. Oh Lord, might it please you to come this evening and dispense thy gospel blessings upon those souls who are hungering and thirsting after thee, pleading with thee for mercy, burdened with sin and unbelief, feeling to be so poor and ignorant and foolish, unworthy to be regarded by such a holy God. But Lord, the dear Saviour said, He did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance, and we are such. Lord, to know that true, broken heart, a contrite spirit, to be found at thy feet, willing to learn of thee, waiting to hear thy voice, but oh, waiting to receive a precious token of thy love and mercy to this poor sinner. Lord, hear our poor cries, unworthy though we are. We would pray for each one that is gathered. Thou knowest every heart and every case. Thou knowest those souls burdened before thee now. Those, Lord, who have been on their knees before the service, seeking that thou will come and speak into their poor hearts, seeking a touch, a word from thyself. O gracious God, hear those cries, those petitions offered up. And Lord, oh, that thou will come and visit souls with thy salvation. Lord, we pray for any who's here who know thee not. Lord, might it please thee to work mightily and powerfully in their hearts, that they may be attentive to the word, that the word may be a word that enters into the joints and marrow, and Lord, that it might have a gracious effect, that souls may be brought to stop and consider where they are, where they stand in the light of a never-ending eternity. Lord, we pray then that thou wilt remember each one before thee, and those, Lord, who are waiting for a word of direction, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt show them thy way, and lead them forth in those paths of righteousness. We pray, Lord, for thy dear servant with us. Remember him in much mercy, Lord. We do thank thee for sustaining him and upholding him in the ministry. And his dear one, Lord, we bear them before thee and seek that thou wilt remember them, strengthen them continually for the journey which thou hast appointed for them. But, O, do own and bless, thy servant is enabled to faithfully declare. And may there be those signs following the preaching of the word. And may he know those sweet encouragements from time to time that thou art working with him with signs following the preaching of the word. We pray for all thy true sent servants. Lord, thou knowest where they're labouring this evening. We pray that thou wilt be their helper. But Lord, we pray that the word might go forth in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, that it might be a living word to living souls. Lord, that souls may be rooted in Christ, built up in thy most holy faith, brought to testify from their personal experiences of the wonders of thy love and mercy displayed to those who feel to be so unworthy. Lord, remember us, each one, we pray. And we pray now for the deacons here who carry the responsibility of this little church and congregation. Sustain and uphold them still. Thou knowest the burden and exercise of their souls concerning this place. Lord, be with them. Continually be their helper. Grant to them all sufficient grace, but just wisdom to do that, to seek to do that which is right in thy sight. For Lord, thou knowest what thou wilt accomplish and yet accomplish in this place. Lord, we pray there may be those occasions when there is the sound of an abundance of rain, the precious gospel showered down upon poor needy sinners, brought to know a precious Christ and enabled to sing his glorious praises to the wonders of his redeeming love, the love of Christ to poor sinners. Lord, we pray for Zion, thy one church. Lord, thou seest the solemn state in Zion today. How low we are, how few gather in thy earthly courts, how little seems to be done. And yet, Lord, thy purposes must and shall be fulfilled. But oh, we pray to be given that grace to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for we read they shall prosper that love thee. And Lord, as we view the scene today, may there yet be a turning again of Zion's captivity as the streams in the south, that souls may know real spiritual prosperity. Thou knowest those souls who long after to know these things. And Lord, as we view now how the absence to a marked degree of the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, we feel it. The Lord, thou knowest, thy dear people know it. Oh, Lord, the withholding of the power in the preaching of the word and the hearing of the word and the blessing of the word. Oh, Lord, have mercy yet upon us, we beseech thee. Our sins testify against us, and our backslidings are many. But thou art the hope of Israel, the Saviour in time of trouble. And Lord, it is a time of trouble in our once favoured land. But yet, Lord, thou wilt be inquired of the house of Israel to do those things, and Lord, that please thee. And oh, gracious God, may we be given that spirit of travailing prayer, that wrestling prayer, Lord, that there yet may be a pouring out of the Holy Spirit once more upon Zion, and made known in this once favoured nation of ours, despite all our wickedness and all our sins. Oh Lord, remember us in mercy here in heaven, thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive unworthy though we are. And now, Lord, we would seek a thankful heart for all thy mercies and blessings to us. Lord, constantly those mercies flow in one continual stream, both in providence and in grace. And Lord, we're so unworthy, but oh, we would view by faith the source and the means whereby those blessings come, through a precious Saviour, a dear Redeemer. And now, as we turn to thy word, do come and open up the truth to us. Deliver us from all intruding carnal, worldly thoughts and cares. Keep us from the enemy to our souls. Keep our sinful, wicked heart. Subdue the evil within us. But Lord, we pray that now, for a few moments, Lord, we may dwell, as thou dost enable us, upon the precious truths of the gospel, and may they be our meat and drink this night, as we ask these petitions in the name and for the sake of the Lord Jesus alone. Amen.
Hymn 1067. Jesus, thy light impart, and lead me in thy path. I have an unbelieving heart, but thou canst give me faith. 1067.
Thank you.
the word that rests upon my spirit to bring before you this evening as the Lord will enable me. You'll find in the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 2 and verse 2. The first of Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. We find throughout all the epistles written by the Apostle Paul, recorded in God's holy word, the sermons that he preached, there was one desire in his heart, and that was to exalt a precious Christ, to set before the people the necessity to know the Lord Jesus Christ for themselves and to know him crucified for them. Now, we find especially in that opening chapter, I do not know whether you noticed it, but we find the name of the Lord Jesus Christ referred to on 9 occasions in the first 10 verses. We find the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the testimony of Christ, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. And he closed those few verses by saying, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, there be no divisions among you, that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And so, my dear friend, as we have this precious word before us this morning, this evening, my dear friend, it is that which the dear apostle desired as he preached whilst here below and in writing these letters, was this, that he determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And it is the desire of every true sent servant of God, as they are enabled to stand up and blessed with that favour, standing up in the name of the dear Lord Jesus, it is this that all to whom he preached and to all to whom we preach, we desire that they may know this glorious truth, Jesus Christ and him crucified for them. And now, my dear friend, as a child of God is brought out of nature's darkness into God's marvellous light, when they're quickened into divine life, they're brought to know what sinners they are, how destitute they are of all that is good, how ignorant they are, how poor they are, and to realise their sins from the very moment of their birth are immense. How great those sins are when the Holy Spirit comes and enlightens the understanding in that quickened soul, and they're brought to see that which is found within their own hearts, and to come to this, that they're deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Now, my dear friend, our old nature can never understand that. We cannot naturally come to that conclusion when considering in a carnal sense of what we are. It's impossible. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in a poor sinner's heart to see what they are in the sight of a holy God and what their sins deserve. Beloved friend, do you know that? Has the Lord quickened you into divine life? Has he shown to you what a sinner you are and how desperately wicked your heart is? And he brought into you your heart into a concern and exercise as to your spiritual state and where you'll spend eternity? Dear friend, these are vital questions. And if we're a child of God, we shall want to know the answers. And he'll bring us to his feet. The dear Lord gives to us a spirit of real prayer, indicted by the work of the Holy Spirit in our heart. And what is the effect? They behold themselves as wretched and poor. They see a holy, just, and infinitely pure God, where sin is an abomination in his sight. And they're brought into an exercise in their own heart. They feel the guilt of sin, the burden of sin, and they feel desolate, low in their own spirit. My dear friend, the child of God is brought there by the dear Holy Spirit when they're quickened into divine life, some in greater degree than others, for the Lord knows just how to deal with every one of his dear people. Some, my dear friend, are not led to see the depth and depravity of their heart to the degree that others are. But the Lord has a purpose of love and mercy to that child of God, because he's going to bring whatever path he brings them to know that what they are and what their sins deserve, is going to bring them to one place. And that is to plead with God for mercy. Do we feel the need of that mercy, dear friend? I hope we do. Not only once and twice, but, my dear friend, every day of our lives, if we know something of the workings of sin within our own heart and the power of evil which is found there and with which we are surrounded, and we learn this, that we have no power to keep ourselves. We are weak, we are poor, we have nothing. And brought, that proud heart is humbled. That self-sufficient one who was so pleased with their form of religion, satisfied with the outward observance of the Lord's ordinances, content with a formal knowledge of the way of salvation, the truth in God's word, satisfied with it. But beloved friend, that is in a natural sense, that is assenting to the truth, yet something is missing. And what is that? It's the power of the word, which today we live in a day when that power is to a great extent seems to be withdrawn. But my dear friend, the Lord does speak to his people still, and they still know that power in their own soul's experience. If you and I are being led by the Holy Spirit, it's to bring us in real confession and true repentance and godly sorrow for our sin. And that is something which we cannot produce within our own hearts. It's impossible, because we are sinners, and sin is mixed with all we do. We are defiled throughout by sin. And it's the burden and exercise of every living soul. But when the Holy Spirit works in a poor sinner's heart, he brings them to see they have nothing, can do nothing, and are nothing, and feel truly to be a wretched sinner. Dear friend, these are not exaggerated terms. If you know something of the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart, you'll know the solemn reality of feeling to be a sinner and the solemn prospect of living and dying in our sins and the awful prospect that awaits everyone who does. And so as the dear Holy Spirit brings us to know these truths, dear friend, it brings us to real heartfelt repentance. That is that precious gift of the dear Lord Jesus Christ, who is exalted a prince and a saviour, to give repentance to Israel and remission of sins. And so, my dear friend, that soul is given a spirit of real confession. They mourn over their sins, but the dear Holy Spirit doesn't leave them there. My dear friend, there is a glorious purpose that God has in bringing that child of God to that very place where they feel to be nothing, to feel to be wretched and poor. Why? Because he has a determined in his love and mercy to favour that soul. But they're going to be first of all be brought out of all hope in self and all that is in the creature, to see truly that within us dwelleth no good thing, and to come and cast our all upon a precious Saviour, a dear Redeemer, and plead with God for mercy, as that one is shown that there is a way of salvation in the coming of the dear Saviour into this sin-cursed world, to render complete obedience to God's holy law, walk that life, a perfect life, in perfect obedience to his Father, and then to go to Gethsemane and to Calvary, and there to have the sins of the whole election of grace laid upon the dear Saviour by his Father, and then to pour out his fiery wrath upon his beloved Son. That which all the Lord's people deserve, and but for free and sovereign grace, they would know the solemn reality of it in the world to come. But the dear Saviour, in his love and in his compassion, willingly came, because in that great work which was before him to accomplish the salvation of his people rested, the fulfilment and completeness of it. And so he submitted himself to the will of his Father. He came into this world, went to Gethsemane. There he suffered, agonized under the weight of his people's sins and the punishment that he was suffering that's rightly due to all his people. He shed his blood in Gethsemane and at Calvary, and thence was crucified, and then laid down his life. A perfect atonement for the sins of every child of God. The Saviour in the sinner's place, enduring the punishment rightly due to his people, the curse of sin, that each one of his dear people might go free eternally, that therein they may be brought safely through to be forever with this dear Saviour, who accomplished so much to redeem their souls from the just deserts of their sins and to reconcile them to a holy God through the person of his beloved Son. Now, dear friend, these precious truths are made known to a child of God. And so you see, there's the needs be for that great work of grace in the heart of that quickened soul to know their need of Christ. For there is no other way whereby sinners can be redeemed, can enter into glory at last, but in and through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that child of God is brought to this place. They want to know that Jesus died for them. Beloved friend, is that your desire to know him yourself this night? You see, you cannot rest upon what others say. We may be the subject of and hear the good opinions of others. Beloved friend, that's of no value. What we want to know is this: Jesus Christ formed in our heart our hope of glory. And that alone is the work of the dear Holy Spirit, as they're brought to truly confess their sins. They're led by faith to a precious Christ and to plead with him that he had come and reveal himself to the dear Saviour to them, as their Saviour and their Redeemer. Dear friend, is that the desire of your and my heart tonight? It will be, dear friend. It must be. Because, you see, there's none found in this gospel way who are never brought to know their need of Christ. It's impossible, because we have to be brought out, emptied out of all hope in self, all that is of the creature, to see that we are nothing. And my dear friend, that's painful to our old nature, and our nature resents it. But you know the Lord so works in your heart. There's no resentment, because he'll remove it by bringing us to that point where we feel to be so helpless, so undone. It's this: Jesus, save me, or I die. That is to die eternally. All of us will die. We know that. The consequence of sin in Adam, in Eden's garden, but that speaks of eternal death. And what is that? My dear friend, it's when, in that last great judgment day, when that solemn sound, the word of the wicked, that word spoken to the wicked by Almighty God, "Depart from me into everlasting fire, reserved for the devil and his angels." That, my dear friend, is the penance for sin. And all who live and die in their sins will hear that solemn word. My dear friend, when we are brought to truly realize it and feel it by the work of the Holy Spirit, there'll be many a cry coming forth from your heart and mine: God, be merciful to me, a sinner. They're led by the dear Holy Spirit to a precious Saviour. They long to lay hold of him. They long to believe in him. And my dear friend, when we are brought and emptied truly out of all things of our love of the flesh, the love of the world, and we come just as we are, truly feeling spiritually destitute. It's then, my dear friend, in the Lord's time, he comes and visits that soul and gives to them a precious token of his love and mercy to them. And oh, how precious that moment is in the experience of the Lord's living family. It's a time never to be forgotten. It's that, my dear friend, when we come to the end of everything feelingly in our own soul's experience, and when the Lord breaks in to that poor heart and manifests himself in love and mercy to them, sealing in their heart that great blessing, pardon and forgiveness. And you know, dear friend, when that child of God knows that, it's the sweetest time in our lives here below. They'll never forget it. And my dear friend, it's this. It's when that soul has a feeling sense that there's nothing between their souls and God. All those obstacles, that great obstacle of sin, felt to be removed. And my dear friend, it's the most blessed time in the experience of that child of God, because it is this. It's a foretaste of eternal peace in your heart and mine. And you know, they're precious moments. It may not be for long. Sometimes it's but for a few moments. Maybe for a few hours. It may be for a day or so, when we walk in the light of that knowledge that all our sins are put away forever. But my dear friend, that peace will not last through the remainder of your little life, as you feel it to be then. It doesn't mean, my dear friend, that there's any change. It cannot be changed. What God has done, he does forever. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken from it. And if, dear, the dear Saviour has been revealed to your heart, and faith lays hold of him, and truly believes, my dear friend, it's one of those blessed times in your life and mine we'll never, never forget. It's a sweet foretaste of that eternal inheritance of the saints in light. Now the dear apostle knew it. He was greatly blessed. But my dear friend, he had a path to walk in, as you and I have, whilst here below, because we shall find in that path there are many, many obstacles. But my dear friend, there will be many enemies. Enemies within and enemies without. And there'll be a constant struggle and conflict going on between your heart, that's the old flesh, and the spirit, the indwelling of the dear Holy Spirit. And my dear friend, the Lord's people know something of it. They feel the power of evil within their own hearts. But one of you may say, what? Such a favoured character, so blessed, receiving such a token of God's love to their souls, walking in such a path? Yes, my dear friend. The Lord has appointed it for his people as they journey through this wilderness. He has said, it is through much tribulation ye must enter the kingdom. And that tribulation means this: trials, afflictions, sometimes persecution, bereavements. My dear friend, they're the path that the Lord's people know as they journey through this wilderness here below. But you know, the wonder of it is, the Lord God, who is perfect in knowledge, he knows all, at the end, from the beginning. He knows the path that he has appointed for you and me, and it is for a purpose, to fulfill his sovereign purposes concerning us, that we may be led to know more of ourselves, but more and more of a precious Saviour, a dear Redeemer. The Apostle Paul, we read in the Epistle to the Philippians, we find there, what was his one desire? He counted all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, his Lord. His one desire was to know a precious Christ. His desire was to know him and to be found in him. My dear friend, and so it will be the continuing desire in the heart of a child of God. Because if the dear Lord has revealed to us a little of what he is and what he has done, that which we do not deserve, my dear friend, we shall want to know more of this dear Saviour. Beloved friend, we will be very careful. You know, if naturally speaking, if we receive, as it were, a gift, and we know not who the giver is, our desire is to know who it is that's remembered us in such a way that we may render thanks to him or her. And my dear friend, they'll want to know the person who has so determined that he would bestow that gift upon us. Well, how much more if you and I have a good hope through grace, that if we have a hope that the dear Lord Jesus Christ died for us, then we shall want to know more of him. And how will we know more of him? In the paths that the Lord has appointed that his dear people should walk in, that he has appointed, those winnowing times, those troubles we pass through, whereby we come to extremities in our pathway. We know not what to do. We cannot see any way forward. We have to cry unto the Lord that he would appear for us. And my dear friend, thus we learn when he appears and grants a gracious answer to that prayer, if it is his will, my dear friend, then we begin to learn something of his compassion, his love, his faithfulness, that he has said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. I am thy God, for I determined not to know anything among you. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And beloved friend, the place which that poor sinner will desire, where he'll desire to be found. And you know, some of those richest blessings the Lord bestows upon his dear people are found in that place. And that is at the cross of Christ. They long to see by faith a precious Saviour, a dear Redeemer, suffering, bleeding, dying in their room and place and stead. And you know, I do believe the Lord so grants that soul's desire ere they leave this world. And it is the desire, I believe, of every child of God, to view the dear Saviour by faith, to see him in all that he passed through, to satisfy the just demands of God's law, reconcile us to a holy God, that portion of that salvation wrought out by the Lord Jesus Christ for his dear people is yours and mine. We don't, my dear friend, we don't often feel the comfort of it. But do we not desire it, dear friend, from time to time, when our hearts are so exercised in the things of God, when we find, as we read God's holy word, the word reads us, and it brings us to self-examination. And perhaps it is a searching word, and oh, it so exercises our heart as we are brought to plead with God that He'd remember us still in mercy, and visit our souls in His divine compassion. Say unto my soul, the dear psalmist said, I am thy salvation. Is it the desire of your heart tonight? The dear psalmist said, remember me, O Lord, with the favour thou bearest unto thy people, and visit me with thy salvation. Well, dear friend, the Lord does visit his people. What is it they want? They want fresh visits, fresh tokens of his love to our souls. That is, through his word, oftentimes. And you know, as we said earlier, it's in the trials, the troubles and the afflictions that we know those rich blessings, oftentimes, not exclusively. We cannot say that. But we've said it before here, I believe. The greatest blessings the Lord's people know, I believe, in their soul's experience is when they're walking in the deepest and darkest pathways. When they feel to be so desolate, so far off, weary perhaps with crying unto the Lord. And my dear friend, the Lord breaks in to that soul and shows them a little of what is, what he's done for them. And oh, beloved friend, it's a time then of rejoicing. That deliverance they've longed for has been wrought from that condition. And what is the effect? Beloved friend, it's that evidence that prayer that ascended from their hearts is real and is wrought by the Holy Spirit. Because you see, real prayer, the evidence of real prayer, is real praise. And how often we find in the Psalms, don't we? How often those Psalms open with the psalmist praying unto the Lord, confessing his sin, mourning over his condition. But if we examine those Psalms, many of them, we find ere he comes to the conclusion of it, there's a spirit of praise upon his lips, rendering praise to his God. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Well, my dear friend, is it the desire of your poor heart and mine? I hope it is. You see, we are each favoured. We've been favoured to be brought up, most of us, I suggest, maybe all of us, under the sound of the gospel. We've heard it faithfully preached, the wonders of God's love and mercy, that great work which the dear Saviour accomplished for the salvation of his people. What effect has it had upon our hearts? Have we gathered in the Lord's house, coming and going, nothing abiding in the heart, nothing wrought there, no blessing received, no word applied. Are we content? I hope not, my dear friend. The time is short, and soon the place that knows us now will know us no longer. And I often think the privileges that we enjoy in the day in which we live. We have a house of prayer where we can worship. We're enabled to hear the gospel faithfully declared. If we live our life coming to and fro, remaining unaffected, careless and indifferent as our soul's state, and we live and die in that condition, my dear friend, how exceedingly solemn it is to have been accorded these sweet and blessed privileges of being able to hear the gospel preached and come to the end and to prove that we know nothing of the reality of real religion. Well might the apostle declare, he determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And beloved friend, may that desire be found in your heart and mine. And may the Lord not let you rest until that desire is found there, but also that you know the fulfillment of it and you are brought to render praise and honour and glory unto your God. Remember this, the Lord's people, when they're called from time to eternity, they enter into glory. There's a song to be sung by those redeemed ones, those who are saved by this great salvation, brought to know the truth, to live upon a precious Saviour, a dear Redeemer, here below, to be led and taught by the Holy Spirit. That song is this, and we cannot sing it until we know the truth of what that song contains, here below, unto him that loved me and washed me from my sins in his own blood. And my dear friend, none can sing that song unless we know it experimentally whilst upon this earth. Well, may that be the desire of your heart now, oh, to be found. If the Lord permits you to leave this house of prayer tonight, dissatisfied with yourself, with a desire to seek after Christ, my dear friend, it will be a blessed favour accorded to you, because you see, if the Lord has spoken into your poor heart, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I leave the word with you, my dear friend. It's a precious word. Oh, may it be found in each one of our hearts. And may we not rest until we know it experimentally. Our interest in a precious Saviour, a dear Redeemer. He died that we might live. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Henry Mercer is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. John Rosier next Friday evening. Let us close with hymn 405. Twixt Jesus and the chosen race subsists a bond of sovereign grace, that hell with its infernal train shall ne'er dissolve nor rend in twain. 405.
Dear Lord, do bless thine own word, and pardon all that has been amiss in our worship, but that which has been of thee, do cause to abide in our heart, and seal it there by the Holy Spirit. Watch over us now as we part. Be with us through the remainder of our journey here below, and prepare us each for a never-ending eternity. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with you all. Amen.